Good morning. It is 9:59 a.m. We are here today, February 26, 2020, in the OPA hearing room, Suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the motion hearing of OPAPA 19011, Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation versus the General Services Agency. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability is Clarice Aroki. Will appellant Basil Food Industrial Services Corporation please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. My name is Jerry Diaz, and I'm here representing Basil Foods Industrial Services. I'm here with two of my clients, Michael Zhu and James Zhang of Basil. Also present with me today is Zach Damian, who's another attorney in my office.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency...
Okay, Mr. Zhu is here. Who else is with him?
James Zhang, Z-H-E-N-G.
James Zhang, and who's your co-counsel?
Zach Damian.
Okay, does Mr. Damian wish to sit at the, does anybody wish to sit next to you, or are you just at?
He can sit up next to me, or he can sit back there.
Well, it's up to you. Okay. All right, so thank you, Ms. Diaz. You may proceed.
Okay. Will purchasing agency GSA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. My name is Sandra Miller from the Office of the Attorney General. I'm representing General Services Agency, also GSA. Present with me is Robert Kono, GSA Procurement Counsel, as well as Ms. Anita Cruz.
Thank you. Well, interested...
what is Ms. Cruz's position?
Buyer supervisor.
Thank you very much. For GSA, I take it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, buyer supervisor.
Thank you.
Will interested party SH Enterprises Incorporated please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, I'm Vanessa Williams on behalf of interested party SH Enterprises Inc. Seated to my right is the Vice President of SH Enterprises, Ms. Hui Suk Min. Also present today, seated behind me, is the President of SH Enterprises Inc., Mr. Tae Hong Min.
It's Tae Hong Min?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. So just prior to going on the record, there was a brief discussion I had with the parties, as, and it was confirmed that Mr. Wolf would not be joining us because Ms. Miller was taking his place in this matter. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is that a fair summation or a brief discussion about this?
Okay. Yes, sir.
So, Mr. Camacho, please, sir. The hearing office. I know we're used to send your office. I'm not a judge. Okay. So we have the interested party, SH Enterprises, motion for summary judgment. This is a hearing for that. I take it that now that the issue of Mr. Wolf's participation in this matter has been resolved, this is the only motion. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So, Ms. Williams, as this is your client's motion, what I'm going to do is order of march will be you'll have the opportunity to argue your motion, and then of course I believe essentially we'll allow the purchasing agency to also give argument and. Essentially, as this is an adverse motion to the appellant's case, I will allow the appellant to address both arguments in opposition, and then I will allow you, Ms. Williams, the opportunity for a rebuttal. Okay. Any questions about that order? No? Okay. So, Ms. Williams, you have the floor on your client's motion for summary judgment.
Thank you, Mr. Camacho. We see the issue is quite simple. Basil's protest is based on an allegation that SH was not responsive based on facts it indisputably knew more than 14 days prior to their protest on November 22nd, 2019. So as a matter of law, the protest was untimely and this matter was not properly before this office and there was no jurisdiction over the appeal. Now, the subject IFB was issued on September 25th, 2019, and it required a certification that the bidders had not had a government contract terminated for cause in the preceding 3 years, And we refer that to, in our briefs, as the B4 certification as part of the IFB package. The facts that Basil claimed give rise to their protest was that SH had had a government contract terminated for cause back in April 3rd, 2019, and so that they would not be able to take the certification. Now, it's undisputed that Basil missed this in their protest that they filed November 22nd, that they knew of this fact at the time the IFB was issued. That was on September 25th, 2019. It is also undisputed that Basil knew of this fact, therefore it's also undisputed that Basil had to have known of this fact at the time of bid opening. That was on October 24th, 2019. And at that time, there were the two bidders, Basil and SH. The bids were opened. That's, there is a video recording of that. SH had submitted a complete package, including the B4 certification, and they were the lowest bidder. Now, therefore, based on those facts, they had 14 days from October 24th, 2019, at the very latest, to submit their protest. Now, Basil claims that it could not have been aware that it would be agreed until GSA issued the notice of intent to possible award on November 8th, 2019. So they submit that the clock started running on November 8th, and that is why they contend their November 22nd protest was timely. But there's no dispute of fact here on this motion. This is a dispute of law, and Basil's argument and interpretation is not supported by the plain language of by GCA 5425, nor Supreme Court, Guam Supreme Court law interpreting it. If we look at the statute, their contention is they couldn't have been aggrieved until a contract was awarded. But by GCA 5425 plainly states that any actual or prospective bidder who may be aggrieved in connection with the method of source selection, solicitation, or award of a contract may protest, and that they have to submit this within 14 days after such aggrieved person knew or should have known of the facts giving rise to thereto. Now, based on these undisputed facts, they knew, it's not even a question of should have known, they knew that SH had submitted a B4 certification. They knew, or allegedly knew, claimed that SH had been terminated for cause, which is indisputably not true, but that's the facts giving rise to their protest. And they knew on October 24th that SH was the lowest bidder. So they may have been aggrieved on October 24th, 2019, and they should have known that and should have filed a protest within 14 days of that date. They didn't. They chose to wait a couple weeks and didn't file their protest till almost a month later on November 22nd, 2019. That makes their protest untimely, and that makes this matter not properly before the Office of the Public Auditor, and there is no jurisdiction. These are all questions of law. It is in the interest of, it's consistent with the policy of this office and the procurement rules, law and regs for the expeditious and efficient resolution of matters that this be decided at this stage, that we don't need to proceed on the hearing on the merits because there's no questions of fact to resolve this issue. I believe Basil has abandoned its contention that they were required 2 days notice. They don't address this in their opposition. It's undisputed that the contract was awarded on November 8th before their protest, so we weren't required to do the two-day, GSA was not required to do the two-day notice under 5425G. That's also a question of law that can be addressed. Because all of its entire protest rests on these allegations, and there's no question of that, we submit the summary judgment or dismissal of this matter at this time is appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me go back a little bit here. So, there's no dispute that GSA SH had a contract that had, in fact, been terminated on or about April of 2019. Is that right?
There is a purported dispute. Now, SH did not have a contract terminated. GSA notified Basil of this fact and said that SH had voluntarily withdrew from the purchase order back in April 2019. So there was no termination.
So you say there wasn't a termination?
No, there was no termination.
And then you mentioned a couple days here, so I'm just trying to get them straight. Okay. One was the October 14th date.
I believe that was October 24th, the date of the bid opening.
Okay, but maybe you were speaking rapidly. Okay, so the bid opening I got that was October the 24th. Is that
correct.
Right? Okay, and then there is no importance to October the 14th?
No.
Based on your argument? Okay. All right, maybe it was just my hearing. It could have been that.
I apologize.
That's okay. No, it's my ability here. But all right, so October the 20th. So you're saying that essentially they should have filed their protest within 14 days of the October 24th date?
Correct.
Would that be a fair assessment? Okay. Anything else you wanted to add based on my questions? Or?
I just want to clarify that Basil did submit in their protest that they knew of SH's alleged termination at the time GSA issued the bid, and that was September 25th, 2019.
September the 25th of 2019?
Correct.
Okay, but you're saying that you're pulling that from their or Basil's pleadings, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And that was a... GSA, a purchasing agency? It's my understanding, I'm allowing you to go here because you're not opposing the motion for summary judgment, are you?
No, on the contrary, GSA joins in the motion of SH, and if I may, without repeating the arguments already made by SH, the position of GSA is that Basil's protest is untimely because it was filed too late. And once it is filed too late, this office no longer has jurisdiction and cannot proceed on the merits, and the appeal needs to be dismissed for all of the reasons already articulated. A big contention seems to be, was this a withdrawal or was this a termination? Because that goes to the B4 certification. But in general contract law, when you have a termination for cause, you're presuming that there has been a default of the contract or some other event that gave rise to the termination. A voluntary withdrawal is not the same thing as a termination, any more than, say, a resignation is not the same thing as a termination of employment or a firing. They are two different legal standards, and they cannot be confused, which is what is happening here. Just because the vendor is no longer a vendor doesn't mean that they were terminated for cause. And that is the criteria and the standard by which the B4 certification needs to be addressed. And given that even by Basil's own admittance that they were present at the October 24th hearing, that they knew or at least suspected, and they used that word several times, suspected or suspicious, that something was that something may not be correct, or they suspected something would not be with the B4 certification, it was incumbent upon them to watch the timelines, because to wait until a notice of award or a contract is awarded is not the standard. If that were to be the case, then the entire premise for the statute, it doesn't make any sense at all. Solicitation, method of solicitation, even if you put out an award or you put out an IFB, even then you can start a protest. You don't even have to wait for there to be a bid opening or anything. You can start protesting even at that very early stage. And that runs throughout the course of the entire procurement process. So the position of GSA and the agency is that this office does not have jurisdiction, the protest was untimely, and this appeal should be dismissed.
And that's based on your agreement that, or your joiner in the argument that essentially it was October the 24th of 2019 that Basil knew or should have known of the grounds of its protest?
Yes. Okay. Not only they knew, and if they didn't know, they definitely should have known. And in fact, they admit they suspected it.
Thank you. Ms. Diaz, you have the floor for any opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Camacho. Thank you for allowing us the time to oppose this motion to dismiss. And as a standard for a motion to dismiss, there have to be genuine issues and material fact. And before I start into those genuine issues, I'd like to point out that GSA did not file any type of brief in this case in response to the motion for summary judgment filed by SH Enterprises. So any information that was put forth today that is in addition to anything that they are agreeing to with regard to what SH has indicated, I'm objecting to, because this is the first time I'm hearing it with regard to the standards, methods of solicitation, things of that nature. I haven't had the opportunity to review that.
They filed no pleadings, is that right?
Correct. Okay. They did not file any pleadings.
Be advised, these are informal proceedings in which the rules of civil procedure do not apply. Okay, but that's it. Please proceed.
Right, but I just wanted to say
your objection is duly noted.
Thank you, okay. I appreciate that. So the main issue in this case is to whether or not Basil's protest is timely. And we actually provided a really good case in our opposition, which is Guam Imaging Consultants versus Guam Memorial Hospital Authority, 2004 Guam 15, which specifically addresses, you know, when the clock starts ticking. And so, yes, Basil did know that SH Enterprises had a contract that was terminated for the period of April 2019. Yes, they did know that going into the bid opening, there was a previously existing terminated contract. But this case, Guam Imaging, talks about there having to be a catalyst for the clock to start ticking. It says that there has to be some action made by the purchasing agency that form the basis of the protest, and that's something that this tribunal should really focus on, is when was that action made by the purchasing agency, by GSA? Yes, they did have an opening, but if you review Exhibit B, which is a recording, Exhibit B of SH Enterprises motion, which is a recording of the actual bid opening, where we had individuals from Basil, SH, Department of Public Health, Social Services, GSA present. It lasted about 32 minutes. Neither Basil nor GSA were allowed to sit at the same table that GSA was sitting at. They didn't have the opportunity to look at the documents that were contained in each bid packet. They didn't have the opportunity to ask any questions. And in fact, at the start of that hearing, they were told that if there were any questions, concerns, or comments, that they should put it in writing and address it to Claudia Foggi, who's the chief procurement officer. So during this 32-minute bid opening, you can hear through the tape that they're unsealing a package, shifting through the paperwork, and then they go through what seems like a checklist of the documents that are contained within each packet. And there were two bidders. In this case, it was Basil and SH Enterprises. And it's Ms. Cruz that specifically states exactly what's in there. And if I could point out, just for reference purposes, the issue here is...
Now, is this an audio recording?
It's an audio recording.
Okay,
it's Exhibit B.
I haven't gone through that yet, but all right, so it's audio. When you're saying you're pointing something out, what are you referring to exactly?
If you listen to the audio,
okay,
you can hear someone opening a package.
All right.
Because it's a bid opening. And then you can hear paperwork shifting, you can hear muffled voices.
All right.
And then after a certain period of time, Ms. Cruz comes on the record and states exactly what's contained in the bid packet. The issue here is Form B-4, which is a certification regarding debarment, suspension, ineligibility, voluntary exclusion. Okay. And I listened to it yesterday, and she goes through for Basil and for SH, same order. She indicates that both companies put forth a statement of qualification, which will be reviewed and accepted conditionally under further review. She talks about the bid bond and the checks that were submitted pursuant to that bid bond. She talks about the affidavit for non-collusion, and she says signed and sealed. The next one is disclosing ownership and commission, signed and sealed. The next one is affidavit of no gratuity and kickback, signed and sealed. Affidavit of ethical standards, signed and sealed. Affidavit of contingent fees, signed and sealed. special provision signed and sealed, a declaration of compliance with U.S. wages submitted, business license submitted, and then she goes through the bid amount for each party. And at the very end, she says these packages are accepted conditionally, until it's analyzed and reviewed and the contract is awarded. So if you listen to that list, nowhere is there a statement that there is a B4 form or a certification regarding debarment, suspension, ineligibility, and voluntary exclusion. So is Basil sitting there at that bid opening? They don't know if this form has been turned in. One can assume because it's one of the requirements and they're accepting it, but they don't have concrete confirmation at that point in time. Further, if that document was present, they didn't have the opportunity to review it to see if it was signed or to see if there was an addendum stating that SH had signed it but indicated that they had a prior termination. They didn't have the opportunity to review that. So when they're at that bid opening, Basil didn't have a belief that they had been aggrieved. The next issue, too, is SH argues that at that bid opening, GSA had awarded it to SH Enterprises because they were the lowest bidder. There's no statement in the recording regarding the award of that particular contract. For both Basil and SH Enterprises, GSA states the package is accepted conditionally until it is analyzed and reviewed and the contract was awarded. So Basil left there not being aggrieved. Again, you need a catalyst. You need a GSA action that's the catalyst to start the clock ticking. Basil did not know that it was aggrieved at that bid opening. So it wasn't until November 8th, when it got notice from GSA of a bid status that it was going to award it to SH Enterprises, that Basil knew that it was aggrieved. Basil knew that there was a requirement of a certification regarding debarment. Basil knew that SH had a prior terminated contract. So immediately upon that, a few days later, Basil issued a FOIA request. Get any documents to make sure that the leak was correct. Once he got those FOIA documents, Basil filed its protest. And the protest was timely because it was done within 14 days of the notice, which was issued on November 8, 2019. So based on that, there are genuine issues of material facts as to when Basil actually...
Well, let's back up. My question is this. So according to your argument, your opposition, I think the clock should have started ticking around November the 8th of 2019, is that right?
That is the catalyst for Basil knew that he agreed.
And then, it's based on this, you call it a bid status. So was it a bid status or was it a notice of award, notice of potential award?
It's a notice of award, but on the top of it, it's called a bid status.
All right, but they're telling you that they're going to award it to SA.
Yes.
All right, and that was on November the 8th?
Yes.
All right, now when did you... When were you able to, when was the client able to have access to the procurement file?
When we obtained the FOIA documents.
Well, I'm just looking for a date. I care less about the methodology. I don't think you're going to go and sneak in their office and take
right,
it. But,
right.
But what date was that?
Let me get that date for you. So we issued the FOIA request on November 12, 2019. And I apologize, I don't have the date when we actually received it, but it would have been a couple of days after that.
Do you know whether or not part of the documents that you reviewed during that inspection of the procurement file included SH's B4 certification?
It did include it.
But you don't know the date. You're just saying it. So it might have been after November the...
It would have been after November 12th, and I can make a call to the office to get that date for you so that you get it today.
But that's just the date of the FOIA.
Yes. And we're not even arguing as a date that when we received the FOIA documents. We're arguing that the catalyst or the triggering date was November 8th when we were provided the notice that GSA was going to award it to SH Enterprises. Because that's when we thought, wait, there is a certain document required that said you're supposed to certify that you haven't been terminated.
Okay, but I'm just trying to ascertain, because if your protest is around the B4 certification, I'm just trying to ascertain when you or your client actually saw the B4 certification. That's all.
Okay, and we'll get that for you. We're making a phone call.
If you could. Okay, and please proceed with your opposition.
Okay, so based on those issues, which essentially are material facts, summary judgment is not appropriate for this particular issue. Now, the next issue was whether or not was terminated from the April 2019 contract. So that goes in line with whether or not GSA properly responded to our protest, whether the protest was timely, things of that nature, and again, it all fits that B4 form. And so there are, again, genuine issues as to whether or not there was, in fact, a termination. We were notified for the very first time of this termination when the protest was filed, and it was included as one of the exhibits that SH's former counsel provided to the OPA.
I'm sorry, you just confused me with that last statement.
Sorry.
So wait, you're saying the first time you became aware of the termination was when?
Let me back up. Okay. So it's always been our contention that there has been a termination of SH. Okay, for the April 2019 contract. We issued the FOIA request on November 12, 2019. One of the things that we asked for was all the documents related to any cancellation or termination of the April 2019 contract. We did not receive any information as part of that FOIA response. And so the first time
is not the same FOIA as the one you made in November of 2019?
This is the same.
The same.
We're only talking about one FOIA request here.
All right.
November 12th. So as part of that FOIA request, and it's one of our exhibits that we've attached to our protest. Okay. If I can go back. So the FOIA request was on November 12th. And then we received the FOIA documents on November 19th.
Thank you.
Okay. As part of that FOIA request, we not only requested all the documents that SH had provided to GSA as part of their bid package, we also requested any and all documents related to a cancellation or a termination of the April 2019 contract that was awarded to SH Enterprises. In response, there were no documents that addressed a termination or a cancellation of that April 2019 contract. So the first notice or the first That's right, the first notice that Basil ever received regarding SH's contention that they had withdrew from the bid was when SH's former counsel filed their motion for summary judgment and included the withdrawal letter as part of their exhibits. So that was our first notice, and I can give the date of that.
Well, that would have been the date you were served with their exhibit.
All right, so January 31st, 2020. Now, there are issues with regard to whether or not there was a termination. Because if you look at the plain language of the contract, it says that upon receipt of a C rating from the Department of Public Health and Social Services, the vendor must be terminated from EMT services. Shall be terminated. So shall is not a permissive word, it's not may. Shall is imperative, you must. And so it is our contention that GSA must have terminated the contract. And because of that, SH didn't have a contract to withdraw from because it would have already been terminated. So that's a material issue as to whether or not there was a termination in this case, such that this issue is not right for
summary
judgment.
But wouldn't the agency have to follow a termination procedure? Contracts just don't terminate automatically, do they? without some kind of agency action?
That's what it says. In the event the vendor has issued a C rating from the Department of Public Health and Social Services, the vendor shall be terminated as a vendor of EMT services.
Yeah,
so they
shall,
should have terminated. But there's no paperwork that they did that, but they should have pursuant to this contract. Next thing you know, SH is coming in a few days later issuing their withdrawal. These are issues as to whether or not there was in fact a termination. We believe that there was pursuant to the plain reading of the contract. If you look at case law, you're supposed to look at the intent of the parties, and if it is clear, if the words are clear in the contract, that's what should have happened. But now we have this late document coming in when they file their protest, SH files their protest, that there's a withdrawal, but per the contract, there should have been a termination. And
but all you have is a withdrawal letter. When they presented your exhibit or their exhibit on January 31st.
Right. We didn't even receive the alleged withdrawal letter from GSA pursuant to our FOIA request issued on November 8th, 2019.
Okay.
And one of the other issues that we pointed to in our appeal is whether or not SH is a responsive bidder and should be disqualified. Again, we've got genuine issues of material facts here such that this issue, again, should not be granted summary judgment. The contract, and we've alluded to this in our brief, section 2.4 and 2.5F, states that each bidder has to provide a list of citations on the areas of procurement, material weaknesses, and its organization's non-compliance with the contract provisions. One would assume that if you're providing food services, one of the provisions is to serve those meals to your constituents in a timely manner. If you look at the withdrawal letter that SH provided as one of its exhibits, it said that they didn't have enough drivers. Now, isn't that one of the contract requirements, is that all of the constituents get their meals in a timely manner within a couple of hours of it being cooked? So SH merely says, well, there was no termination, so there was really nothing to report. But the fact that you are withdrawing from a contract to provide over 1,000 constituents with meals because you can't have enough drivers, isn't that non-compliance with the contract provision requiring you to report that as part of your bid package? We believe it is. We believe that this is a material issue such that SH is not a responsive bidder, such that summary judgment is not warranted on this particular issue.
Anything
else to say in opposition? Yes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I was just catching my breath.
That's fine. Go ahead.
We've got a few issues here, Mr.
Plankton. That's fine. I'm giving you the longest runway possible here for your argument.
And I absolutely appreciate
as
it.
As I do for all the parties. So
thank you.
Please proceed.
And the issue also is whether or not SH should be disqualified and whether GSA had the opportunity to review SH's entire history as to whether or not it's a responsible bidder. Again, the information regarding the termination or the failure to meet the contract specifications is something that should have been presented to GSA to make a determination as to whether or not SH is a responsible bidder and whether or not the contract should have been awarded to SH. So the last issue that I wanted to talk about was whether or not GSA properly responded to Basil's protest. And again, that falls on whether or not there was a termination or a withdrawal from that April 2019 contract. GSA merely stated that there was a withdrawal, such that that was their proper response. But again, we've got issues as to whether or not there was a termination or a withdrawal such that we don't believe GSA has properly responded to the protest. Again, the other issue that I just mentioned a few minutes ago was the issue of notifying GSA of any noncompliance with the government provisions. GSA again did not address that issue because they said that it was a withdrawal. But if you look back, if you hone in on the fact that they were going to violate that contract because they could not provide the meals, they didn't have enough drivers to provide the meals, that's non-compliance with one of the provisions of that contract. So, and that was not addressed. Again, these are other issues that are outstanding such that summary judgment is not warranted in this case.
What is the procurement that you are alleging that this termination occurred in? Do you have a...
It's for the elderly nutrition program, home delivered meals.
Okay,
so we're dealing with senior citizens.
Okay, but is there a procurement number?
I can give you a procurement number.
Or a purchase order number, something I can identify as what it is.
Yes, I can give that to you. If you give me a moment. So I have a purchase order number.
Well, there should be a procurement number, like IFB or GSA-IFB- blah, 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 or GFA or GSA-RFP, something.
Can I clarify that?
Yes.
This was an emergency. It was, we didn't put out a bid yet.
All right. Okay, so, but what is the actual procurement?
So it would be based on...
Would it just be a purchase order?
I'm sorry?
Would it just be a purchase order?
Yes, it'll be a requisition made into a purchase order.
Okay, is there a requisition number?
Yes, for these, there would have been.
Hmm. All right. You don't have that on you right now, do you?
I don't have
that. That's fine. So, all right, so...
Can I give you the purchase order number? That's what we provided to GSA, and they were able to provide, and that's what they were basing their response on.
Okay, so purchase order.
P is in Patty, 196. E is in Esther, 00.
All right, 196 E?
E is in Esther.
Okay.
00314.
00314. You said that's the, at least the purchase order number for that particular solicitation.
And the title for it is Provision of Nutritional Services for the Comprehensive Management Operations and Maintenance for Department of Public Health and Social Services.
That's a mouthful.
A few more words. Elderly Nutrition.
But these are the home, this is a home delivered component?
Yeah, the elderly nutrition home delivered meal program.
I'm actually very familiar with that particular type of contract. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Mr. Kerr. All right, you may proceed.
So based on those three issues that I discussed and the issues of material fact, we don't believe that summary judgment is warranted in this case.
Okay. Any other opposition?
That was it.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Williams, any rebuttal?
Yes, please. Going back, Basil refers to the catalyst that prompted their action, and that's what they call the catalyst is what starts the clock. And they presented or offer the Guam and Majin Consultants case, Supreme Court case 2004 Guam 15, in support for the proposition that the agency must take some type of action. Now, in my reading of Guam and Majin Consultants and the paragraphs they cited in their opposition, I don't see the language. I don't believe GMI states that the clock begins to run when the purchasing agency takes action. What GMI held in that case was that under those facts, the bidder could not have known of the facts giving rise to its protest until the agency took action in that case. So it was very case specific. I don't think that was a holding or a proposition of law. It also goes directly against the plain language of the statute, 5425. So I wanted to address that case. I also believe, we need to remember the question here, what are the facts that they should have known? That's what the statute says. Not when they knew, but when they should have known, they would have been aggrieved or gave rise to their protests. Now, Basil also says, the question of whether their withdrawal was a termination whether SH's actions back in April 2019 were a withdrawal or a termination is not the issue before this office. That's not the issue that they protested. The facts that they gave rise to their protest was the fact that SH submitted a certification that they believe is non-responsive, that they could not have submitted the B4 certification. And when they knew of those facts was undoubtedly as of October 24, 2019. Now, Basil went over the audio recording and recapped what GSA went over and how they accepted the package, and they said, well, we did not know. One can assume, though, and that's really it right there. The statute says, when should you have known? When should you have known that you'd be aggrieved? When we did not say that they should have known because we were awarded the contract on October 24th, as Basil has just put forth. We said they should have known as the lowest bidder, and they should have known with the submission of the certification that they would be aggrieved by this. They already knew of this alleged termination. Now going back, and they say, well, there's a question of fact of whether the April 2019 action was proper. Was it withdrawal or termination? That's not the issue before this on appeal. We're talking about an action in an entirely different procurement back in April 2019, and which they say they knew of at some time before this IFB was issued in September of 2019. Now they say, well, we didn't know for certain that it was withdrew or terminated until they received the response from GSA to their FOIA request, which was, I believe, late November 2019. They're saying, well, we didn't know. GSA's response to our protest, our FOIA request, didn't say it was a withdrawal, or it did say withdrawal, but we didn't have copies of it. Well, if that's a fact that they were notified at that time, then that's another protest that they should have filed before the agency. They can't circumvent the process, the administrative process, by just kind of dovetailing that into this appeal. I mean, so we're saying either you should have protested the action, the April 2019 action, sometime far beyond with that procurement at that time, or file another protest. If they think that GSA's decision and interpretation of that was wrong, then they should have done that when they were within 14 days of when GSA responded to their FOIA request, but they didn't. And it's only if they had filed that protest in response to that they could then, and didn't like the answer, that they could then appeal to this office, but they didn't. So that matter, the question of whether it was a withdrawal or termination, is not before the public auditor. The question, and there is no dispute of fact as to when that on October 24, 2019, they claim they knew the facts that they say they were aggrieved by was SH's purported termination back in April 2019. They knew SH submitted a bid and with all the paperwork on the October 24th opening, and they knew that SH was the lowest bidder. So under the statute, they should have known of that they would have been aggrieved, and the clock started running then. I believe that's all I have on the issues. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to actually order the GSA provide the OPA and the parties' permits files, an actual copy of that. The April 2019 withdrawal letter from SH, and that particular procurement that was described as purchase order 196E00314. And I'm also going to order GSA to provide whatever official document GSA had or generated to end that particular contract after that withdrawal letter was issued, if any. How soon do you think GSA can provide me with those particular contracts? And I'm also going to order that GSA provide whatever it provides the OPA, it should also serve upon the other parties. Okay, but how soon do you think realistically you could get a copy of those documents available?
Tuesday at the latest, since Monday's a holiday.
Oh, it is a holiday. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Heritage Month. Yeah, okay. So how about by next week, Thursday?
Thursday.
Would that be good?
Okay. Yes.
So by 5 p.m. next week, Thursday. Could be earlier if you have it earlier. I'm going to ask that you provide those documents I requested to the OPA and to serve it on the other parties no later than that date, next week, Thursday, which I believe is, what day is it?
The 5th.
5th of March. Okay. Okay, we're going to take the remaining matter under advisement. Okay, yes?
As a point of clarification for a question that you asked, you had asked when Basil knew about the B4 certification, the exact date, and the response was not until the contract was awarded on November 8. GSA, on behalf of GSA, when the contract was, okay, we have two procurements going on here, okay? One is the instant one that's on appeal, and the other one is that April 19, which is over.
I understand they're two different procurements, but I'll just tell you what. I'm kind of wondering, okay, so if you have a B4 certification, and I'm requesting these documents under the those portions of the procurement appeals regulations that authorize a hearing officer to request documents from an agency. Okay, so that's why I'm requesting, and I'll cite them in an order after this, but I'm a little curious as to if there's a requirement that a response bidder should not have been terminated by or within a 3-year period, is that correct, or something like that? And one bidder, and there's only, are these the only two bidders on this particular procurement? There are three bidders on this particular procurement. I'm trying to, I'm a little hesitant, regardless of which way I go, to merely go off the one exhibit provided by SH. In the pleadings. I'd like to see what the agency or how the agency responded to that withdrawal letter. Okay?
Yes.
I understand that it's not the same procurement, but nevertheless, it is one of the things that at least one of the parties here is arguing is as a basis of its protest.
So on that, if you look at the protest that was filed in this case by Basil, and at its Exhibit I, which is its letter to GSA declaring its protest, it clearly says here that at the time GSA issued the current bid that's under protest, Basil was aware of certain facts, giving that SH had operations may not be
wiped off. I'm going to consider that, but at the same time, I'd still like to see that document.
And we will certainly provide that. I think we can get it even before the Thursday.
Well, if you can, that's fine, but whenever you get them, just giving you till next week Thursday, because I understand that today and Wednesday is a three-day weekend. I understand that.
Thank you.
This is a long story, so. Okay, and I think that I can probably get a decision out shortly thereafter after I receive that, but I would like to see that particular document, okay?
Thank you.
All right, are there any other issues?
May I ask a question, please?
Yes.
Originally, we have hearing dates for witnesses and stuff due this Friday.
Those were vacated at the last hearing, if you recall. I vacated all the existing dates. I still have to, sorry, I'm a little behind. I've got to issue this, the newly revised scheduling order based on the...
The hearing, I believe, starts March 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to find where I started guessing here. Yeah, March the 23rd.
23rd.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it was at that hearing, by the way. We didn't send out a notice because essentially it was the motion hearing last week, Wednesday, and we just said we would continue it for Mr. Number one, for Ms. Williams to catch up, and number two, for Mr. Wolf to figure out this particular issue. Okay. Those dates I vacated very clearly, but I will be issuing a new scheduling order, giving new dates to the witnesses and the various filings. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Does everybody get that? I think you all were here when I said we're. I think you were the one who asked that question, or was it Mr. Wolf maybe who asked that question? But I had stated that we're essentially going to vacate the existing dates for the hearing that was scheduled, I believe it was next week or something.
The 9th.
Yeah. So those dates are vacated. I'll be issuing new dates. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Any other issues? Yes?
Yes. I'd like to be transparent with everyone else here in the room. Basil intends to file another appeal related to GSA 5619, which is the procurement at issue here. We have until tomorrow to file it. We will be filing it by tomorrow. I'm unclear as to how you would prefer to handle that, if that's going to be done separately, or if we can combine it or consolidate the two issues because of the same contract.
Now that's not before the OPA.
Correct.
Yet,
but I wanted
but
to.
But typically, I'll just state, because maybe Mr. Kona was definitely on the last one. So this has to do with the elderly food contracts, okay. This underlying procurement for this issue. Okay. Well, the last time we faced this particular issue, we're going back to 2016, 4 years ago, okay, we consolidated all the appeals. Okay, and I don't know if we're going to particularly do that in this case, but I don't have an appeal here, but I know that in the same contract, well, not exactly the same contract, the same services, the contract is the same services. The last time we went through this, we essentially, we did combine all the appeals in one case. Okay. Not to guarantee we do that, I have to take a look at your appeal if it's filed. Make that determination.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right,
I'm done. And let me see here. And I know that the last time that this particular service, federally subsidized, right, given with federal funds essentially, was given out, and there was a protest. It took us, I think it was a protest were filed in 2016. I know we did the hearings in 2016. I know that the Superior Court of Guam, after the hearings, reviewed the case. That took about a couple of years, and then there was a Supreme Court review. My point being, instead of perhaps going through 4 years or 3 years of appeals, maybe the parties could try to talk to each other, or you're facing another possible 3 years appeals. Okay? I know that negotiations broke down, didn't occur in the last case, but now that everyone knows, this might be a very protracted matter, like the last one was. Maybe there's the possibility of settlement, which I do encourage, but, you know, obviously if there isn't, then essentially we will decide the case as we did the last time, even if it means going through years of appeal thereafter, okay? But at least for now, there's no appeal, okay? There's no second appeal, so I'm going to take the matter of the motion under advisement, okay? I'm going to issue an order regarding the documents from GSA, and I hope to essentially issue the new scheduling order, the notice of the newly scheduled hearing. But of course, if there's another appeal filed and it does get consolidated, that time frame might change as well. Okay. Any questions?
Any questions?
All right. We are off the record at 10:55 a.m. Thank you.